Embrace life with a change for the better. Challenge your comfort zone with Glenn Miller, your personal comfort zone coach, enabling you, in whatever way you may need to step outside your comfort zone. The Outside Your Comfort Zone podcast explores proactive and practical tips based on years of lessons learned and expert skills and advice that will enable you to accomplish more. Each episode puts a spotlight on topics and experts in their field who will compel you to action and to get more things done outside your comfort zone.
This episode starts with a story. I have a friend who happens to be a phenomenal golfer. His long game is so good that he usually lands on the green in 3 to 5 meters from the flag. One could say that this is so common for such a good golfer that 3 to 5 meter distance is their comfort zone for putting. In the story, on this glorious, beautiful day, and precisely at the moment that my friend is standing to chip onto the green, he's standing behind the ball where it landed after his drive just before. And he set up for a chip 15 meters away from the flag, just off the green. For non-golfers, the green is that super smooth grassy patch around the hole. Often the shape of a green can be like a bean shape, but that's not important. Eventually, at the end of the green will span quite a way and either meet the fairway or some rough grass heading towards the tee, or on the back of the green, some rough heading off the green, just behind the green. In any case, my friend is hitting the ball from just off the green in that rough, and his choices were to chip or to putt the ball, but it's a 15-meter putt to sink the ball into the hole in one shot. This is not a likely sink of a putt or a chip, because you've got to get that ball as close to the hole as you can, and most times, even a scratch golfer will get the ball really, really close to the holes, lining up the next shot being a very, very, very short putt into the hole. Clearly, a 15-meter putt is a significant distance from a hole. And given that this particular hole was roughly the 9-hole mark, so midway in the game, it's quite strategic that if he can sink this putt, it's advantageous to the overall score of his game, both for himself and the competitors he's playing with, which happens to be myself and a third golfer. So he's 15 meters away from the hole. Again, most golfers wouldn't consider the 15-meter mark the comfort zone. So clearly this scratch golfer friend of mine was slightly out of there. But in that moment, and I can substantiate that it was outside the comfort zone, because as he started moving his club backwards, we heard him say, "I'm never going to make this putt." And exactly at that moment, and this is kind of the crux of the story, the other golfer that's with us, he literally yells, "Stop!" to my friend, who does. In that moment, he stops his upswing, having said these negative words, "I'm never going to make the putt." And the other golfer turned to him and asked him, "Mate, just close your eyes, and I want you to actually reimagine the opposite to what you've just said. I'm never going to make this putt, because you're a phenomenal golfer, and I believe that your mindset is what's going to control you from missing the putt." And at that very moment, he says to him, "Close your eyes and just do me one favor. Reimagine the result of your chip." I kid you not. He says to him, "Reimagine yourself, envisage, feel yourself hitting that ball and that ball sinking into the hole." Now, if you don't know, golfers are exceptionally superstitious people. So I'm saying this because you might be thinking, "Glenn, this doesn't really sound, sounds a bit far-fetched. And why would a golfer who's a scratch golfer stand there and take almost stranger's advice and actually stand there and close his eyes?" But golfers are very superstitious people. And of course, I'm generalizing, but there are very, very, very small nuanced rituals that many, many golfers possess, especially on the high level of the game where every single point counts. And they believe that those little rituals might impact their game. And it's like some kind of religion. And if you've ever played the game, you'll understand what I mean. And even if you haven't, hopefully this explains it really well. I say this because you wouldn't understand unless somebody would actually persevere with the silly exercise. The mindset and the mind frame of a scratch golfer, it's totally different and tuned in to a mental ability to control their game. And I truly believe, other than born natural skill, it's that mindset that does set phenomenal golfers apart from the rest, as well as things like muscle memory and practice. So for most inferior golfers like me, the only thing that you can control is actually your mental state, your hands, your feet, other limbs that comes with practice. And so if you can control your mindset, practice a lot with that mindset, that's kind of the only control you have. The better golfers generally do that exceptionally well, or they show up with a level of talent that the average person might not possess. But back on my story, and given my friend is a scratch golfer, he literally takes the advice of the other golfer. And I watch my friend close their eyes, takes a moment in doing so. I see him thinking. The other golfer says to him, "Now open your eyes, pick your line, concentrate, and most of all, believe. Believe in yourself. Believe in the image you just created in your mind. See the line. See the line the ball will take to go in the hole, and believe that your ball will follow that line, go in the hole. And only once you agree and you believe that that's going to happen, open your eyes and take your swing." We sit there in silence, and I observe my friend carrying out every step. He opens his eyes, looks left at the hole, looks down at his club, back at the hole, back to his club, slowly takes his upswing, connects the ball, a beautiful follow through. The ball starts following the line, and strews blues, I watch the ball fall in the hole. And with that, arms are jumping up in the air, full of excitement. He can't believe his achievement. And before my eyes, I thought this was a one-of-a-kind kind of joke, but he actually did it. He took the deep breath. He locked in his line. He repeated his upswing motion a couple of times. He reviewed the line, and with absolute belief and determination this time, completely contrary to his verbal, "I'm never going to make this putt," he swings the ball. He sinks it in the hole. And before my eyes, I watched something I couldn't believe. He putted this ball with beautiful conviction this time, through the roll and to the sink, and bam, he shoots it in one stroke. Now, kid you not, as you've heard, I'm not a scratch golfer, but you might be wondering why I'm sharing this long story with you and what the significance is. And you might think that this is just some kind of coincidence. He happened to get it in the hole, but I'm going to explain to you why it isn't, and also how important the power of one's own mind within context of oneself and one's own context and environment is. The saddest part of the story is that I bumped my friend actually a couple of weeks back, which is what got me into this episode on the street. And I reminded him of the story and what actually happened when we were playing that round together all those years ago. And ironically, he had no recollection of the precise moment like I did. And the significance of that event, I hold it so close to my mind that I could describe it in the detail I just had. Now, he doesn't, and I'll explain why as well, but I visualize it as if I was there yesterday. On that specific day, that specific moment, the specific putt, for me, the moment has provided me with so much more. But to him, and since he plays, I haven't been playing much golf, but since he plays pretty much every other day, he told me that although he doesn't remember that specific day and that specific putt and that specific game, he does remember about that around that time, those years ago, that his fundamental belief changed in every shot that he takes. And that fundamental belief in himself, his swing, the years of repetition and the time spent on every golf iteration of himself using that fundamental belief is something we spoke about and debated that day, especially him knowing that I have the podcast, and however so slightly it improved every stroke. It enabled him to bring his own game and his own score long-term to scratch and beyond, and minus figures getting better and better every time. So the significance to me was the lesson I'm about to share with you. And to him, it was another day on the course. And I'll unpack why that is in a sec. But I'd like to share to do so the two perspectives with you, the two points of view around the story, mine and his, my friend. So I walked away with so many incredible lessons from this story, which I'd like to share with you, because I think they're lessons that will help you convert into action and make opportunity from little gifts that we can find around us in this kind of lesson and this specific lesson too. So I was not the golfer taking the swing, but I benefited from the lesson in observing the situation before my eyes. So I think that's one thing I'd love you to take away, that these little lessons are hiding around you. And when your mind's open to them, you start to notice them. And if you can act upon them, home run. So what's clear from this story is the right mindset. The right mindset is not to ever be underestimated. And I'll tell you why, because conditions don't even need to be right. And what I mean by right is the right mindset. So you could wake up in a bad mood, but that doesn't mean you can't still find positive in every single part of the day. The tools, the equipment, the conditions, the environment, in this case, the golfer had everything. But if the mindset wasn't right, that ball wouldn't have gotten in the hole. So this is what life throws at us. It throws us an environment, and most of it is actually out of our control. What is in our control all starts in our head. It all starts with our mindset. And the power to take control of your mindset should never be underestimated. So that's lesson number one, the right mindset. Now, the combination of the right mindset and then the environment now that you approach with the right mindset leads into the belief. And the belief of then pursuing with conviction the right outcome based on that mindset. So in the case of my friend, once he'd opened his mind that I can take control of the shot and I can believe it's going to actually go in the hole, there is no more powerful act than that. So mindset alone may not get you so far, but you certainly need to have it. It's 50% of the battle. The belief in that mindset is the part that's needed to move it into action. And that brings me to point number three, actions. Actions to pursue our beliefs might be the only ability to pursue. The words alone are not enough. So in order to pursue and get the job done, we have to act on that belief based on the right mindset. And so how many times have you heard things said, but nothing's ever changed? Because of the saying, actions speak louder than words, I think we've all realized that. But thoughts control the actions. And they also control the order of events, in which our minds process. So to achieve an action, first we think, then we act, we do, and then we see the outcomes and the benefit. And the reverse of that is also true to benefit us. So when we observe, as I did in this case, we process that in our minds. And if we have an open mindset and we're willing to believe, then we'll see the lesson before us, inherit it as our own, and act on it to get the best outcome for ourselves. So first we see, and then we observe, and then we do. And through the mental processing, there are these free lessons around us, hanging around. And for example, in the story of my friend and the golfer. Now let's consider the other golfer, the bystander. The right words from the right people around us, in this case, that other golfer, can guide our belief and change it as well sometimes. And more importantly, our outcomes, especially if it's for the better, obviously, and based on the actions that we take and our belief in them. With the motivation and the inspiration of people around us and with their belief behind us, we are all able and enabled to do great things for greatness. So imagine once that circle completes and we instill trust in those people around us who continually feed us to absorb more of the lessons that they have to share with us, which they're giving us for free, by the way. Imagine the power of our growth with all of that behind us. So it's a reminder here that all of this stems around mindset and mental power. Now let's review the lessons from the other side, from my friend's side, even though he didn't seem to appreciate it on that day. People with great talent don't peak and then remain there, and that's it. They continually grow, and they continually improve, and they continually get better, even when they have broken their own barrier for what they deem total success or a world record. I'll give you an example, is the 100-meter sprinter, world famous, Usain Bolt. How is it that Usain Bolt keeps breaking the record, which is his record, by the way, by milliseconds, event on event, year on year, record by record, accolade by accolade, getting better, improving each time? The answer is power of the mind and mindset. These people are not satisfied with the growth only that they've already achieved. But the fact of their character, the growth in a continual mindset, continual exercise, these people are not superhuman. They just tapped into the talent and discovered in their world what they share. And it's a natural ability to continually grow with an open mindset and to absorb the advice from the people around them, not necessarily better than them or with better talent than them, but just showing them the lessons that they're open-minded to receiving. It enables them. It helps uplift them with these little nuggets of advice and sound bites along the way. So, of course, these peak performing athletes have to arrive with a level of talent. But there are average people out there who have a stronger growth mindset, more openness to listen, learn, get fit, show up, practice, do the hard yards. But it all leans on the right growth mindset and power of their mind. These lessons don't have to apply just to the talent. They can apply to all of us, including you. This is the very ethos behind this episode. I often refer to getting out of your comfort zone or reimagining yours, and some listeners have asked me what I mean, because it's quite abstract. But to make it tangible, I think this episode's done hopefully a good job, that your comfort zone lives inside of you. It's set by you and it's defined by you. And for each of us, that's different, because each of us is uniquely different. There's only one of you. So your past is fixed. It's locked in. It's history. It's behind you. And it means it's gone forever. So that word define as it relates to your comfort zone is totally up to you. But it is as limiting as your mind and your mindset allow it to be limited. And the strength and the power of it is totally in your control if you're willing to see it. And this is the message I'm trying to share with you. So after you actually refine your mindset and in turn where your comfort zone sits on every matter that you confront, and it's important because your comfort zone really is or can be a guiding light for you if you actually appreciate and realize it and move it from abstract to something that can help you, especially at uncertain times or through certain circumstances or scenarios in your life. But it can also be a massive force, a driving force for change and positivity in your life. To define your comfort zone, we really need to understand the inputs that are relevant to you and your life and your individuality and your circumstances. It can, however, or wherever you plan it to be, just like the story, there needs to be a fundamental moment in time where you do stop, observe, and have the presence of mind to realize that you can take control of your comfort zone, or in turn, your mindset that's going to govern how you're going about things and power of your mind. So until you do actually stop and think about it, you may not have formally set any comfort zone before or had to stop and think about that. But when you do, and I recommend you start now, and you consider the boundary to set, to give yourself a test or a go. Positioning of where that boundary is totally up to you. But the point is to provide your mind with a limiting factor and then realize it's up to you to achieve that limit and then consider, but actually aim to push beyond that limit. Just like the example of the 100-meter sprinter Usain Bolt. Set the next limit, smash the old record that you set with a new limit, and keep that wheel turning. This is true power, and this is taking control of your comfort zone. It's likely from that statement that the perimeter of your comfort zone will limit or change over time, but it's also impacted by each iteration. And namely, even your experience as you move through each iteration, which you didn't have the iteration before. So we introduce another two super important factors in this understanding. We must consider the surrounding factors of your comfort zone, which is time and experience, just like the runner Usain Bolt. So today is the first day of the rest of your life. And from today, your past is behind you. So all that remains is the present and your future state of mind and how you take control of it. So there's no use looking back, other than to learn from the experiences and use the time ahead far, far better at this point in time. So just like the story of my friend, the golfer, I really hope that the penny drop moment has happened for you so far. And this understanding that this was just a story to demonstrate a massive impact of what that story can have if you open your mind and you allow the impact to do so for you. So imagine this one story alone, and how much control can enable in you, now that you think about it this way, to just opening your mindset to the little lessons around you. But more importantly, imagining that if you could use that mindset to predict your days ahead, deliver on future outcomes, set the comfort zone, set it as a goal, and aim to accomplish that goal. Once you achieve that comfort zone, you push the boundary to the next level, reset it further, go hunt the new target. That imagination is in your future. So look at yours. And how can you change your future with that little nugget? The beauty and the intimacy of your comfort zone and the comfort zone experience is that it's unique and it belongs to you. Nobody else can determine yours. They can't dictate to you about the aspect of your comfort zone, the timing, when to get back onto it. For example, exercise. And especially if you don't let them, you own that mindset, you own the narrative, and you own your ability to grow and grow your mindset once you decide to. And that's the crux. We're all different. In no two ways is a fingerprint the same. In fact, on the same person, no two fingerprints are the same. Not even within a millimeter. And in the case of a 100-meter gold Olympiad, the winner and the silver runner-up are in fact absolutely different by milliseconds. There can only be one gold medalist. And it's the same as your DNA. Brain activity is unique. Nothing created by Mother Nature is even unique. Everything is unique. So the good news is wherever your past has brought you, you have this remarkable and amazing opportunity to realize that you can start again. You can make a unique, fresh start as of today. The same as you are unique and fresh, so too, you can create a new, fresh mindset. And just before we get into the unique aspects over there, there is one more consideration to keep in mind along the journey, and that's the level of consciousness with which you choose to affect the change and impact your comfort zone. How actively conscious do you want to be about your comfort zone? If at this point bores you, probably not. But if you do want to, then you need to be conscious of it, aware of it, and acknowledge that it's actually time to start to lock in around certain parts of your life, at least. Where is my comfort zone and where does it need to be and how am I going to test it? And start doing that today. Defining that comfort zone requires looking inward. And this is where things oftentimes get very, very tricky because it's something that not everyone is able to do or embrace, but we can learn how to get comfortable being uncomfortable and just embracing it and getting started. It's like meditation or sport. So to that end, I'm going to say, what personal factors or characteristics most important to you in your life impact your comfort zone? And what are the significant impacts that they have on your life? But it's about balance and your yin and your yang, nobody else's. So in what ways can you challenge your comfort zone? And today we've spoken about mental and mind, but just some others to allow you to poke a stick at it off your food and nutrition, emotion, you know, you're putting your heart into things, your soul, your spirit, the effort, your body, your physical being, exercise, activity. Now, I think I've hopefully planted a seed and given you a lot to go away and think about and conquer. And so I hope you can take this lesson away today and aim to formalize a new comfort zone, a new mindset, a growth mindset, take control, take the power of your mind and leverage it as a tool, as a weapon to help yourself grow from strength to strength. But it all comes down to the most important factor is your mindset, because your mindset's going to control how you attack the day. So thanks for listening. I hope you go out and attack yours.
Thanks for listening to Outside Your Comfort Zone with Glenn Miller, your comfort zone coach. If you like what you hear, help spread the word. Subscribe to the podcast and invite a friend. For show notes, links, and extra goodies, visit comfortzonecoach.com.au.